everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today, we've got some very exciting information coming, not today, but other days, coming up very, very soon. Maybe by tomorrow we'll be able to present it to you. But today I have a question that comes to me from a dear, dear friend, which is about being real, about being your real self. Now, I can say without exception that most people who come to see me as a shrink, as a therapist, are asking me that question. What's my real self in here? You know, they may be in love and they feel crazy, or they may feel angry and they feel crazy, or they may be addicted and they feel a certain way, but they're asking me, Armand, can you tell me where the real me is in all of this? So that's a real important question. Let's talk about being real. When you meet someone for the first time, how do you present yourself? What are the rules? Well, it's according to what you want. You know, in nature, mostly you present your strongest side. Why? Why would any animal present their strongest side? Because remember, there are two basic rules of nature. Two basic rules. You must be able to eat, and you must be able to not get eaten. Because, you know, everybody in the food chain is fodder for somebody else. So somewhere down the line, you want to be able to eat. It means nurture yourself. And avoid being eaten. Avoid being devoured. Two rules. That's good enough. So when you're out there, what you show in general is your strong side. Because this way nobody tries to hurt you. They don't see you as weak. They don't see you as somebody who they could take advantage of. You know, imagine walking dark at night. You know, walking in the dark at night and you're walking home from getting out of a subway. You walk with a certain deliberateness because you don't want to look weak. You might get attacked. The message you carry is, I could take care of myself. Don't mess with me, mister, you know, or missus, whoever's going to mess with me. Now, that's the general way that people will present themselves as strong. And we all have a strong side to us. That doesn't mean that's not our real self. But I'm not sure. Let's explore this a little further. Unless, of course, you're one of those creatures in the world who find that you get more by playing weak than playing strong. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine how could you get more out of being weak than by being strong? Well, for example, wounded or fragile. Like you go to an emergency room or a doctor's office, and what happens when you go to a doctor's office? They deal with the worst cases first. Unless you're a friend of the doctor. They deal with the one who looks the sickest. So very often a person will go to a hospital and they'll look worse than they are because they want to get the attention. Or else, when else would you feign illness or exaggerate your fragility? Ah, in the mating game. In the mating game, you know, remember, in a mating game, you're always having two people trying to get connected. And some men or some people are predators looking for some easy prey. Maybe because they want an evening of pleasure. Maybe because they want to take advantage. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't want to be easy prey for somebody. So you would present yourself as weak. People even say that high-heeled shoes represent the inability of a person to run away. You know, so maybe the dressing a certain way, wearing things that are too tight, that in some way make you look like you're easier prey, attracts somebody who thinks they're getting advantage. taking significant advantage. But of course, you may be the one who just wants to have a pleasure for the night, a shelter, a place to go. But you may be using that weakness. Weakness can also pay off. You know, weakness can pay off if you're really fragile and you're going somewhere and people are afraid you're going to explode at any moment. People fear you. That also works. You know, hysterical people. Generally, that hysteria will work. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm trying to sort through all of this to get down to what is the real self. What is the real you? And what's it like? Mostly, people tend to be very real with me when they come to see me as a therapist, because that's what they want to do. He is my real self. Can you tell me if it's any good or is it broken? You know, what is it? But I'm always surprised if I run into a client or someone who's consulted with me on the outside, if I see them at a party or at a theater event, I'm surprised because the face that they present is very different than the face I saw in my office. That's why group therapy is good, you know, because you see a client as an individual, they give you, let's say, the real self, but you see them in a group and you see the other than real self, the self that's negotiating the world. Most people are chatty. They like to chat. How good are you at chatting? You good at small talk? I'm not very good at small talk. They talk as if the words create a shield around them so that you'll pay attention to the shield instead of the person. What do you think of the weather? The weather's really fine. Well, it was really rainy yesterday, and it's going to be warm tomorrow. Oh, is it going to be warm tomorrow? I thought it was going to rain. And that becomes a conversation. That becomes a conversation is instead of looking at the other person and just being with them. And just being there. And maybe a smile. Maybe a contact. I tend to go for the real stuff. I tend not to be chatty. I like to touch real people. I like to make contact with real people. So I'm not very good at parties. Nor am I invited to many parties. Because I tend not to cooperate too much with the game. I think mostly I'm the same way I am on radio with you. I think I am. But sometimes I see myself stepping out of my essence. And I step out, and then suddenly I'm a know-it-all. You see, in my real self, I do know it all. But it's not that I know everything about everything. I just know who I am. But, you know, being real is not socially acceptable. Heaven forbid you talk to someone and they weep when they tell you how they really feel. What a downer at a party that would be. You know, what are you doing crying? When I meet people casually, I can't go beyond 20 minutes or so before I start yearning to be real with someone, even if it means being alone, so I could be real with myself. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you do. How many of you are intolerant of chit-chat after about 20 minutes? Real is not laying out your problems. You know, real is not being with somebody and telling them all your problems, because problems are not real. We make problems real. So, you know, the weather, really, I don't know how I'm going to get through another day of rain. You know, it's only rain. So real is not talking about the problems, unless they're absolutely unavoidable, like if you have an obvious physical illness. But mostly real is being present, being here, laying down your guard. Can you be real with your family? There's a real question. One would imagine the one place in the world you could be real is with your family. How many of you could say you could be real with your family? You could be who you are. Think about the last holiday event. Phony faces, fake smiles, avoiding issues. You know, Gary Null wrote a book called Who Are You Really? In which he presents a personality paradigm what helps you sort out a good general picture of your personality type. It helps you identify other people's personality types as well. Gary actually says in his books it helps you choose who to marry. You know, because it's helpful on many levels. It asks you to look at your behaviors and impulses and identify your type. Interesting. Interesting. When you're trying to find the road to self-identification, find out your type. Now, there's another paradigm that I also appreciate called the Enneagram. In the Enneagram, in which the Sufis developed this, illustrated 9 personality types and 2 variations on each one. And that's helpful also because it tells you about your type. It has these 9 types. Are you a helper? Are you a perfectionist? Are you image-driven? Are you a romantic? And it goes on. Now, both methods, Gary's method and the Enneagram, help you deduce who you are by the way you are most of the time, by what you do. That's okay, but the book doesn't answer the question. When are you real, real? When are you real? You know, crazy is never real. Let's talk about crazy. Let's talk about crazy. Crazy is an attempt to deal with a tremendous sense of vulnerability by adapting a personhood that keeps us safer than we believe we are in our natural sense. Crazy is what happens to you when you can't handle the emotions that are all there. If you feel very scared, vulnerable, well, then it's hard to be real. So you have different forms of crazy that we invent. But crazy is not real. For example, paranoia. We don't believe our defenses are good enough, so we imagine an enemy that's bigger than it is. This is what paranoia is. We have a big enemy out there. They want to come and get us. In fact, we create an enemy that's not really there, and we spend our time detecting it, avoiding it, or attacking it, or trying to find out where it is. They're talking about me. They feel things about me. That's paranoia. There's another one. In paranoia also, you know, if one of your vulnerabilities is to feel insignificant, paranoia makes you very significant because you believe people are thinking about you when they may not even know you exist. We create enemies who are after us, who think about us. This happens on many levels. You know, jealousy is a form of paranoia. I realized that just yesterday morning. Jealousy is a form of paranoia. You obsess about another person taking away that which is yours or having access to that which should be yours. Jealousy. Jealousy, it's an obsession. You're thinking. It's a form of paranoia. Even worse, if you're a woman, when you believe that all other women are jealous of you. What creations of the mind this is. But think about what it does for you. It goes from the vulnerability of your real self, the insignificance, the feeling of I don't count, to this feeling of being very important because everybody's jealous of you. Armand DeMille here with you with the positive mind. There are other mental states that are also created selves. Remember, crazy or insane or out of your mind or neurotic, whatever we want to call it, is an attempt to deal with a tremendous self of vulnerability by adapting a personhood. Anxiety and worry. Man, think about anxiety and worry. You're worrying. Remember, we're talking about the real self versus the unreal self. How does worry keep you in the unreal self? Because worry is always about the future. Worry is about what could happen. Worry's not real. There's a big difference between worry and concern. You can be concerned about the future, but spending your time worrying about it? Sure, in today's world, you might have a concern about a potential danger, but a person who feels very vulnerable will create worry after worry after worry. And so they're always living in the future instead of in the present. Worrisome people are afraid of being real. It makes them feel like a wide-open, vulnerable, innocent. I'm sure they were once real. How about depression? There's a good one for you. Part of depression is believing that you're the only person who is real. Part of depression is that you're the only person who sees the truth. And the truth is life is meaningless. Your life is meaningless. But depression's not real either. It's not. What is real? Well, that's a really important question. And one of the people who answered that question come from a story called The Velveteen Rabbit. In The Velveteen Rabbit, it's about a little rabbit who is a toy. And this little rabbit talks to other toy animals. And it talks, and they're asking each other questions. And there's one old skin horse, the old horse, and the Velveteen Rabbit, the rabbit, ask the horse, what is real? And the horse answers. And it's something I find particularly attractive, so I'm going to play it for you. Here's something I like a lot.
In the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by and by break their mainsprings and pass away. He knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. What is real? Asks the rabbit one day. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Sometimes, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt.
When you are real, you don't mind being hurt.
It doesn't happen all at once. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or... By the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand.
That's Meryl Streep from The Velveteen Rabbit. A great Christmas gift, if you run into it. Real doesn't happen to people who break easily. No, it doesn't. E.E. Cummings, in a poem in 1955, said, "To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight. And never stop fighting. Because the world wants you to be the same as everybody else. They want you to follow. They want you to be part of what else. But now, how do you locate that real self? And how do you locate it with somebody else? How can you be real with someone you love? That's a question. How do you dip down inside and let go of your defenses? And say, I will be real with you. I don't need to lie. I don't need to hide. I accept you for everything you are. That's not easy. No, that's not easy at all. It may take a long time to get the courage to do that. We're going to take your calls about this. 212-209-2900. We are so accustomed to disguise ourselves to others that eventually we become disguised to ourselves. We eventually ask ourselves, who am I really, as Gary Null's book would say. But by the time we're answering the questions, we can't see ourselves anymore. We don't know anymore. One way to answer the question, who am I, is to answer the following question. Who am I not? Who am I not? What is it in my life that I am doing that is not real? And one by one, if you let those go, all you wind up with is what's left over, which is that's where the real self is. Tom Mason once said, be yourself is about the worst advice you can give to some people, because those people who are themselves or think they are a certain way, those people just behave the way they think they are. You know, if somebody's my real self, I'm a rebel, I'm a fighter. Samuel Johnson, 1750, said, almost every man wastes part of his life in attempts to display qualities which he does not possess and to gain applause for things that he's not. We're going to be taking your emails and your telephone calls about this. I already received a couple of letters from people asking me the question, and here was one I wanted you to hear. I really don't think that anyone in this world knows the real me, said this one person. My closest friends know me better than anyone else, but I don't think I've ever let certain sides of me come out around anyone except myself. I keep some feelings hidden because no one would understand, or even if they did understand, they wouldn't be anything that anyone could do to make the feelings deeper. If people ask you, what's wrong? Is it okay to say, I don't know? I don't know. Because very often, that's the real self. Here's another person wrote, I'm not always as confident as I seem. There are many nights and many days when all I want to do is to be held. I love being held. Always. Sometimes I just don't want to talk about what is bothering me. Sometimes I just want to be held. I want someone who will let me cry and not interfere with my crying. Whew. She also wrote, I like when men cry in front of me, when people aren't afraid to show their saddest feelings. You ever get the feeling where you don't want to talk to somebody, you don't want to smile, and you don't want to fake being happy, but at the same time, you don't know exactly what's wrong either? There isn't a way to explain it to someone who doesn't already understand. If you want anything in the world, it would be to be alone. Be alone so that maybe you could say to yourself, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm just going to be here. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It may be confusing, my friends, but it's an issue. It's worth finding. If you spend your whole life searching for this one holy grail, and the one holy grail is if you take away all of my shells, if you take away my skin, if you take away all these outside cells, take off my makeup, who am I? What am I? What's it like inside here? What's my character? Don't worry about your reputation, my friends. Your reputation is what people think you are. concern yourself with your real character, because that's available inside. Most of the things that you feel when you're real, you don't have to explain. You just have to be with it. And I tell you, when you let yourself do that, it's amazing. Another quote, I remember this one came from Judy Garland. She said, always be a first-rate version of yourself instead of a second-rate version of someone else. People are afraid of themselves, of their own reality, their feelings most of all. People talk about how great love is. Love hurts. Feelings are disturbing. People are taught that pain is evil and dangerous. Pain is meant to wake us up. People try to hide their pain, but they're wrong. Pain is something to carry, like a radio. You feel your strength in the experience of pain. It's all in how you carry it. And that's what matters. Pain is a feeling. Your feelings are a part of you, your own reality. If you feel ashamed of them and hide them, you're letting society destroy your reality. You could stand up and fight for your right to feel your pain. Everybody wants to take it away. You tell a dentist you feel pain, take this needle. Tell a doctor you feel pain, and right away they're going to give you something to take it away. Worry about your character, not your reputation. Worry about being able to hold on to your pain. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about real and what is real, and I'd love to hear from you. And here's what's going to happen when you call. You're going to try to define something to me, and I know what I'm going to do is try to guide you down from where you are to a more real self. And it's going to be difficult. It'll be a bit of a struggle, but I'll show you how I work. I'll show you what I do to help people go there, and what I do with myself to get myself from wherever I am being not real to where I am being real. So our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're with you today, Tuesday, and tomorrow, Wednesday. No longer with you for now on Thursdays, as we've changed programming here at WBAI. See what changes. As you can notice by listening to the station, everything has changed. Everything is a little different. So we will be back with you in a couple of minutes. I'll play a little music, and then we will go on our way and take your calls. I'll be right back.
When you'll regret it someday, When you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine, and you'll want me only after you've gone, after you've gone away.
That wasn't exactly the music I chose. That's Loudon Wainwright. But he talked about after you've gone. After you've gone. Because that's when people get an opportunity to most face themselves when a relationship ends. That's when you get to find out what your metal is. You know, that's when you find out what your real construction is. What do you really like? 212-209 2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand DeMille. What a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Hi there.
My name is Charles.
Hello, Charles.
I'm calling you from the Garden State Parkway. You're talking about pain, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll take pain.
Okay, pain. I thought it was interesting because my whole life has been driven by pain, and it's actually been the driving force behind a lot of my success, so I thought maybe you would like to talk to me about that.
Sure, tell me about how pain has been the driving source of your...
My father was in Vietnam in 1967, and he came back. Most people have told me that he probably was a paranoid schizophrenic, but he definitely had some kind of a psychotic break. And I grew up for the first 11 years of my life in this flashback jungle that he created in my living room. He tried to kill my mother on several occasions, and I stopped her several times. And by the time I was 11, he was gone, and I was lost. And a fourth-grade teacher, his name was Mr. Poleski. I've been trying to find him for about 20 years. He introduced me to Walt Whitman, of all people, and I became a huge poetry fan, began writing my own poetry, grew up, went to graduate school for English, and the pain kind of drove me in a different direction in that I needed to understand what my father went through in the Vietnam War. So now I'm a PhD student, and I am studying the cultural impact of the Vietnam War on specifically children of vets.
Okay, so take me down for a moment.
Sure.
And take me underneath all of that. No, no apology necessary. So
that's intellectualizing defense, I know
yes.
that. You know,
so when you get past that and you get alone and you look at yourself and you say, wow, I've carried a lot of pain with me over all these years. And look how I've moved it around in my life. What happens? What happens when you let yourself let go of the usage of the pain?
Generally, I sob very, very loud and very deep and from someplace very old deep within myself. And I usually think to myself, look what happened to me. I can't believe that this happened to me. And then I try to feel grateful that I survived and that my mother didn't die and that my father is no longer in my life, even though it's been difficult not having a father. And I should say that this is the result of 20 good years of intensive therapy. You know,
I hear. I hear you've gone a long way. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. And thank you, Charles, for sharing it.
You're a wonderful man. I listened to you around 9/11, and you really helped a lot.
Oh, I'm glad.
And I'll keep listening. My name is Charles Bavona, by the way.
I've got you, Charles.
I'll call you back soon.
Send me an email.
Have a nice
sure.
day, sir. I will.
Okay.
I have before, actually.
212-209-2900. Thank you, Charles. Let's take another call. This is Armand.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
El Monroe. Yeah, you should recognize my voice. I just wanted to know, one, if you got my envelope. I left it at the front desk. I slid it between the glass panels with the lock on it one Friday night recently, and the person who mans the front desk should have easily, you know, found it and given it to you. It was, you know, as a matter of fact, it had two stamps on it. As to being a real person, I know I'm real because every thing that goes on in my life I have to make decisions about, and sometimes I'd rather just lie around and, shall we say, be comfortable and not do what I have to do. And if I have to be critical, I have to be to save the station, for instance. Tonight we're having a community advisory board meeting.
Well, wait, Monroe. I know.
You know, I know.
You know, one of the things about you over all these years, one of the things about you all these years is that it's hard to get you to not go into, you know, a commercial about the station.
Well, I mean,
I know. I'd just rather not do that here.
No, but it's to help everybody.
I know.
But I mean, I love your program.
And Monroe, thank you so much.
Passion and your musical loves, and I'm similar. I play the harmonica, the push button 64 one, and I love the station, and I'm trying my best. And when you do criticize someone, you're bound to find that people just are uncomfortable with.
I got you, Monroe. Thank you very much for calling in.
Carry on. Be well.
Thank
you. Did you get the envelope?
Thank you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Yes, I did get the envelope, Monroe. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
This is Teresa.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi. I have a question.
Sure.
Now, is this true? Are most of your fears unfounded?
Most of my fears, Teresa?
No, well, in general, would you say most fears that you have are unfounded?
Well, no, let me ask you. Most of the fears that you, Teresa, have...
Oh, my God, we'd be here all day.
Well, yeah, no, that's the one we're talking about, though. You see, the one we're talking about is Teresa's fears.
Right.
You know, and Teresa, you have a bunch. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are you an overthinker? Are you one of these people who...
Absolutely.
So you think and think and think and think and think.
Continuously, yeah.
So what happens with you, like happens with so many people, is you have a nervous kind of, I'm going to call it a disorder, because what mm-hmm. happens, a nervousness that creeps up on you when you're not looking. Mm-hmm. And when this nervousness creeps up, it goes into a little part of your brain called the amygdala, and it mm-hmm. gets all this electricity going. And the thing that happens to you specifically, Teresa, is it says, danger, danger, danger. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the amygdala, the anxiety, tells you danger, 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 you ask the question, where's the danger?
Right.
Your answer to where's the danger is everything you worry about. Mm-hmm. All of your fears are an attempt to identify where the danger is. Now, the truth of it is, there is no danger. The truth of it is, it's just anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, it's just this nervous energy that you have inside you, that if you quiet your mind, you would feel it like buzzing through your system, but then you'd get calm. So in answer to your question, are most of Teresa's fears unfounded?
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that sounds good to me, right?
Good.
But then, I think you told me.
You get quiet.
Just
no, you
quiet,
find
quiet.
A way. You find a way to go to the feeling instead of the thought. Because the thoughts will always take you to that same place. Worry.
So in other words, you can just get rid of the feeling.
Let it go. Let go of the thought.
Uh-huh. Like if you say, I'm afraid to do X, Y, Z.
But it's not even afraid. Just even am I afraid. I'm reluctant to do X, Y, D. You just change your language a little. And you'll find that even then, you'll be able to reduce some of the energy behind it.
That sounds good to me.
Thanks for calling in, Teresa.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This
yes.
is Alberto.
Hello, Alberto.
I saw you twice last year.
Uh-huh.
I strive every day to be, just to be real. I've always found myself thinking about the past, thinking about the future, and it's very hard for me to just be in the moment, especially as an actor.
So you know the difference, right? You know that sometimes you're in the past and sometimes you're in the future, and the past is all about regrets and the future is all about worry. And then when you reduce both, when you get rid of the worry and you get rid of the regrets, what sits there in the middle is Alberto. And here's this guy with no regrets and no worries. And when you contact him, Alberto, what happens?
I feel peace.
Yeah.
Peaceful. It's very rare that I can get to that point.
Yeah.
It's something I strive for every day.
That's the advantage of age. You know, after a while, you begin to believe. You say to yourself, what am I worried about? And that's one of the advantages of going at this a long time. So you've still got time. And it'll happen faster and faster and faster. And eventually, neither worry or regrets will take hold of you.
I just want to get to that point. I mean,
just as you're doing. Just as you're doing.
I guess just trial and error and just
keep sticking with it. Yes, absolutely. You don't believe either one. You don't believe the worries. You don't believe the regrets.
Thank you, Armand.
My pleasure, Alberto. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello.
I had no idea I would even get through.
Well, you got through. What's your name?
My name is Karen.
Karen, congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. I always wanted to talk about my parents. My mom is dead and my father is alive, but we haven't spoken in 3 years.
And, so you're an orphan.
I'm an orphan. And he doesn't see his grandchildren, and every time Thanksgiving or Christmas comes around, you know, I sit and wonder what he thinks about when he hasn't contacted us or, you know, even seen if we're alive or anything.
Yeah, so in other words, you think about what does he think about. But let me ask you something, Karen. What do you feel around the holidays with no mama and no papa?
I feel a lot of pain.
Yeah.
My children don't have...
Okay, go back a second now. Go back a second. Notice how you said, I feel a lot of pain, and then you talked about your children. The truth is, you're the child without the parents, and you feel a lot of pain, period. And when a person has to deal with lost parents like that, it's painful, but it's only pain. You can go through it, not because of your kids. You can go through it. Let yourself feel it.
I also feel the added stress of them not having a grandparent around, the family thing.
No, I understand that, but usually that's one of the things that people do to avoid looking at themselves. They go to their children, you know, and they say, oh, but what about my child?
And I'm wondering, how do I just let it go?
Let yourself cry. Let yourself cry. I know. So let it happen. Don't think about anybody else. Just pat little Karen on the head and say, okay, kitty, we're going to make it. You are going to make it.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Okay, try to have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Seuss said, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is this Armand?
Yes, and you're on the air. Your name is?
Hi, this is Megan. How are you?
Hello, Megan.
Nice to talk to you. I had a question on how to get out of being stuck in a living the life that I'm living now, where basically all your energy goes to family, friends, job, everything else, and then at the end of the day, you don't have much energy for yourself to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Well, and you see, that was the plan, Megan. The plan was that you're uncomfortable with yourself, therefore you gave yourself away. And when you give yourself away to all these people and all these things, and you give yourself away, it's because you don't want yourself underneath it. But it sounds like you're tired of giving yourself away.
Right, I am.
And the truth is, whenever you really get tired of it, you just slowly stop. And the way through this is to go into Megan. Get into Megan, get into you, and say, who am I? What do I feel? Not to what do I think, but what do I feel? And you let yourself go it, and you find out what's real. And you'll find you give so much less away.
Okay. Now, I like to meditate and that kind of thing, and there are times when I just have a hard time just sitting with myself. Now,
that's right, because you're going through this electrical charge. You see, even getting down to meditating, you have to go through this kind of barrier of anxiety. You know, it's like exercise. You know, sometimes you just can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, but you just keep up the repetitions, and eventually you're doing it.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you. Everybody's wishing me a good day today. 212-209-2900. Let's take one more call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. It's Kelly.
Hello, Kelly.
How are you?
Good.
I had a question. You were talking about being your true self.
Yes.
And I had a question about how do you sort of recenter yourself and continue to be the true self that you want to be if you've got someone who's in conflict with you and always trying to give you a different picture of yourself?
Well, that's an interesting thing. Be more specific. You have a husband?
Well, a troubled relationship.
You have a troubled relationship with someone who keeps telling you you're a giraffe.
There you go.
Right.
And I know I'm a swan.
You know you're a swan. See, just because they call you a kangaroo doesn't mean you
doesn't
have
make
to
you
hop.
A kangaroo.
Right, you don't have to hop.
Yeah.
And so this is the question. The real question is, why would you have chosen someone who identifies you so inaccurately? Why would you be there? So I'm not saying you should leave. But the real question is, why did you choose it? What are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody to put you down? Are you looking for somebody to be? Were your parents?
Maybe somebody to correct deficiencies that you maybe saw in yourself.
Well, what about your parents? Did your parents do that? Did they correct your deficiencies?
No.
What were they?
Maybe
like?
That was a problem.
What were they like? They were hands off.
Very liberal, hippie, you know, left wing.
Okay, so you felt nothing with your parents.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and so you wanted somebody who would make you feel something no matter what it is. And you pick somebody who's going to define you. One of the disadvantages of having hippie parents mm-hmm. is a lack of definition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you pick somebody who's defining you. That's good. That was a good job. Mm-hmm. You could define me, but now I'm ready to define myself. Now,
it's only recently that he's been trying to define me as something other than how I see myself because we're in conflict.
So, I mean, have you spoken about this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's been 14 months since we've been hashing this out.
It's funny, you know, if somebody steps on your toe, mm-hmm. you say, ouch, that hurts.
Mm.
And they step on your toe again. You say, ouch, that hurts. Please don't step on my toe again. When they step on your toe a third time, you learn to keep your toes away from theirs. So it sounds like 13 months is a long time.
It's a heck of a long time.
All
but
right.
We've got kids, and I don't, you know, not so easy as just saying, this hurts me, so I'm leaving.
Yes, you need help. You need help on the outside, and I'm sure you're finding it. Have you seen a counselor?
Well, we think we have. We started to, but it's not really working right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry for your pain, because you know...
I know we need to.
Well, more than that, I know you need, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone to hold you. Because you're in
pain.
That's
what I keep telling him.
Yeah, I know you keep telling him, but almost like you got to hold yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're going through such a difficult time.
That's okay. I probably should give Stephanie a call and come back and see her again.
Yeah, probably so. Okay, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks, Armand.
Okay, Kelly.
Take care.
Nathaniel Hawthorne, in The Scarlet Letter, wrote, "No man or woman for any considerable period can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be the true self. If you get so used to being your odd self, your other self, so much, so long, it's very hard to figure out who you are eventually. Are you just who you serve?" This is Armand Demille with you with The Positive Mind. We got time for one more call.
One more.
Yeah, let's take one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good.
My name is Shakara. I actually am enjoying the conversation that you're having today because I've actually have been getting to know my true self for the last 2 years, and even though it's been a long and painful journey, it really is a rewarding one once you start doing it. It's very rewarding.
So what did you have to go through, Shakara, to get to it?
Lots of depression. I've actually...
Now, what does it mean to go through depression?
There was a lot of pain that I didn't realize was pain that I wasn't dealing with. Certain things in my life that I had pushed down and pushed back. And I was afraid of looking at things and really afraid to grow up. And through some unfortunate incidences, wanting to take my own life and things of that nature, I've had to go through a little bit to sort of get to understand why I was being so nasty and mean to myself. And I realized that the more I got to know who I really was, I'm learning to treat her better. And because of that, so many other things are opening up also. You know?
Well, the beauty of it is, Shakara, what you've done was you were willing to face the pain.
Right.
You're willing to take it on. You're willing to shed all those things that you were holding on to. And you're right. It pays off.
Yeah.
You're right. And there's the evidence right there. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for talking to me.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
I'll be back with you tomorrow, my friends, at 1 p.m. This is Armand Demille with The Positive Mind. You can go to our website, thepositivemind.com, if you want to hear replays. Back with you tomorrow. Send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Back with you tomorrow.